Begin the current daf, Masech Tzvachim, daf Lamed Ches. Begin 5 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is, we had explained in the Mishnah, Machlekes Beshameh Beshil, which opened up this parak, regarding the halachas of the minimum amount of zrikas that are necessary by karbanas, which then the Mishnah pointed out relates to the halacha that we're talking about in these parakim, regarding the machshava that will create pigul, which is only that what does the atonement, which is that zrika that's integral. Beshame said by all karbanis is one, but by chatas requires a minimum of two for the chatas hachetzenis, the karban chatas brought on the outer altar. Whereas Beisil said, no, all karbanis including chatas, the minimum is going to be one that's going to be ma'akib in the kapara, which is the one that pigul is done with. And the Gemara brought the source for Beshame because it says karnis, karnis, karnis. Each time it's pronounced in the plural, which is 2 times 3, is going to be 6. 4 la mitzvah and 2 la'akiv. Beisil, however, the Gemara brought 2 interpretations, either that they hold Yesh'im l'mesayris, not for how it's read, but from how it's written, and it's written 1 time in the plural, 2 times in the singular, which is for a total of 4, which is Shalosh l'mitzvah, and 1 is la'akif. Or the Gemara said another interpretation, he actually says it's somewhere in between l'mikra and l'mesayris, where since l'mikra sounds like 6, l'mesayris sounds like 4, so it's going to be 5, 4 l'mitzvah, and 1 la'akif. That was the interpretation of Rav Huna. And that continues the Gemara of the Tana of the Braisa, does not bring the source for Beis Hillel like Rav Huna did, like one of those 2 versions, rather a 3rd interpretation. Maisi Lamahochi brings it from over here. As the Braisa says, it says in the Pasuk V'chiper, says another time V'chiper, and says another time V'chiper, which means atonement, where these 3 times regarding the Sar of the Nasi, which is when the king sins, he brings a special carbon, a he-goat. When an individual sins, he brings either, which are 2 parishes in the Torah, a se'ira, a she-goat, or a kisba, or a she-lamb. Now, all these 3 types are karbanas chatas that are brought on the outer altar. Now, why does it repeat the word atonement 3 times? So that's going to be the source to tell us that there's going to be the minimum amount of the chatas is only going to be 1 time. As the Braisa continues and says, Mipnei Hadin. Because really, logic could have taken us and told us regarding the Chatas HaChitzayna that actually all the matanis, all the 4 gifts that are part of the mitzvah of a Chatas on the outer altar, which are on the 4 corners, we would have thought to say that they're all going to be integral and that's going to be the minimum. That's why we said these words, V'chiper, 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 to say that it's going to be kosher, it's going to be valid even if it's missing 3 of them and only 1 of them is being done. Now, however, the Braisa asks on itself and says, which takes out the Girsa Sheyachal, but V'halaydinu, what do you mean? To the contrary, the logic would tell us that it would be valid with even just 1 gift of blood, and why do I need the Pasuk, these 3 times V'chiper, to say that I don't need all 4? I wouldn't think you need all 4, although it's La Mitzvah, but La'akiv, I would have thought actually that you'd only need 1. Because as the Braisa says, Nemru Dam Lamata, it says regarding blood being thrown on the Mizbeach Chitzan on the bottom half, below the Chota Sikra, the red string, which are all the bloods of all the karbanos except for the karma chatas. V'nemru dam lamala, and there's also bloods that are thrown on the upper half of the mizbeach above the red string, which is the blood of the karma chatas. So we would say, following comparison, ma matan dam hamur lamata, just like regarding the gifts of the blood that are put on the bottom half of the mizbeach, shenesana b'matana achas keeper, where everyone agrees that if it's done with only 1 gift, albeit that there are certain karbanas that need to have 2, that's 4. But as the pasuk we brought in the previous daf says, that it's enough even if you do 1 pouring. So if over there we find that's going to be enough with 1 gift, which that's only talking about by other karbanas, because the karma chatas cannot be learned from that pasuk itself too, like all other karbanas that whatever, you could just do 1 pouring, which pouring sounds like 1 act of putting the blood, which the chatas is also on the outer altar, because chatas cannot be included in that pasuk because it's not included in the halacha of shvicha, of pouring. It is only could be included in the wording of the terminology of zrika, of throwing, because it's done with the finger. At least by the other karbanas, even though that they were thrown and not poured, but it was done straight from the vessel. So okay, so then you could just pour it in the vessel. But the karma chatas was never poured. At the least, it has to be what's called a zrika, because he would take his finger and throw it, which you cannot pour with the finger. So rather what the Braisa is coming to say, but at least I would know it from what's called a binyan av, from a comparison from the bloods of the karbanas which are done on the lower half, which just like over there, if you do it with 1 gift, everyone would hold it's enough. So avdam hamur lamalas, so too the bloods that are done on the upper half of the mizbeach, shenesana b'matana achas keeper. So I would have thought to say that if it's done with 1 gift, it's enough. So the Bryce is asking on itself, why do I need v'chiper to teach? That's going to be enough with one, even though the Torah says to do four, but b'di'evet to be for the kapara, it's going to be enough with one. Why do I need a pasuk? Logic would dictate to me that of course it's going to be enough with one. Oh, that the Bryce says, no, because oiklachal derchzu, maybe go a different way. You can make the comparison in a different context. You could say, nemru dam bifnim. It says regarding bloods of chatas that are done inside the heichal, which are on the inside the mizbeach hazav, in the inner part of the mizbeach, the Beis HaMikdash. V'nemru dam b'chutz, and then there are bloods of chatas that are done the outside, what we're talking about, the chatas ha-chatzainis, that are burned on the outer altar. Now we would say, make the following comparison. Ma dam hamur b'fnim, just like the bloods of the chatas that are brought inside the heichal, chisar achas minamatanis lo'isam lo'klum, if you're missing one of the four gifts, you haven't done anything, as you're going to learn later on the parag. Sav dam hamur b'chutz, and then I would say, also the bloods of the chatas that are brought outside, chisar achas minamatanis lo'isam lo'klum, if he's missing one of the gifts of the four placings of the blood on the four corners, you haven't done anything, and it would be ma'akav to have four. So therefore, it's not so simple that I would know it, that it would be one. Now, so then the Braisa continues, but let's see, so which one is it more comparable to? Is it more comparable to the bloods that are on the bottom half, where it's on the top half, or to its own category of chatas, which is done inside the heichel, and it's done on the outside? So the Braisa says, should we say, done in chutz mi-chutz? We should compare the chatas from the oila, because they're both on the outer mizbeach. We're not going to compare the chatas ha-chatzainis, what's in the outer altar, from the one that's on a totally different altar inside. Or says the Braisa, no, maybe go a different direction. Done in chatas, we should learn out the chatas ha-chatzainis, which is a karma chatas. Moreover, it says regarding it, va'arba kronis, there's halacha, like we said before in the previous daf, karnis. It says you have to put in all the four corners of the mizbeach, at least initially. So we should learn it mechatas from a different karma chatas, which is brought inside the heichel, which is also chatas. And regarding it, it says v'arba kronis, that it has to have four corners, as the Gemara tells us later on, because it says by one of the bloods that are brought inside the heichel, by the parkoy mashiach, instead of saying keren, it says kronis, which is two. And it says later on, it says by the parhelm davishal tibur, it also says kronis instead of keren, which is also plural, which is two. Two plus two tells us that there's four corners. So therefore, it has two things that it's similar to, the chatois apanimis, maybe we should learn it from there, which says you have to have all four, v'al, and you cannot compare it from other bloods that are brought on the outside, mizbeach, like the carbon nila, she'en chatas, first of all, it's not a chatas, and moreover, it doesn't say regarding it, v'arba kronis, you don't do it necessarily in the four corners. So therefore, it's not so simple what the halach would be. Tamalema, that's what the Braisa says, therefore we need to learn it from the pasuk, v'chiper. Why does it say three times this word atonement? Atonement, says the Gemara, is because v'chiper, the first time that it says atonement, sounds like it's like going to be enough. What does that mean? Even if he only placed three instead of four, it's good enough. V'chiper, when it says a second time atonement, is even if he only put two gifts, it's also enough. And v'chiper, when it says the third time atonement, is even if he only placed one gift. So from those extra three words, v'chiper, each one is diminishing the necessity of the atonement, that only you left with one matana that's going to be ma'akiv, but the other three not going to be ma'akiv. That's the source, says the Braisa, for the Pinya Bisil. However, the Gemara asks in this interpretation. But v'haim b'ayle l'gufei. But what do you mean? Each one of these words, v'chiper, you need to have for its context. Like we said, that although they're all three by the chatoyos ha-chitzanyas, but one's by the sar of the nasi, one is by the sir of a yachad, one's by the kisp of the yachad. So that's what the Torah has to tell you, that there's atonement with those karbanos. I would not have known it had the Torah not said it. So how can you go and use each word as a drasha to be might in the requirement of the Mount Zrikas? Each one is necessary in its context to say that there's atonement for the sin with that type of a karban. So Amar Rava, he says, Bar Ada Mori Asberli, my master Bar Ada explained to me, because Amakra, the Pasuk says over there the word v'chiper, atonement. Additionally, the Pasuk says over there the word v'nislach, that he's forgiven. Now, Zuhi Kapara Zuhi Slicha, atonement is saying the same idea as forgiveness. Why does it say the word v'chiper then? Each time it says v'chiper, it's extra to tell you a diminishing in the amount required zrikas, to say that the halacha of atonement is going to be ma'akim only in one of the zrikas. However, this Gemara still asks in the interpretation of the Braisa. Why? How do you know to interpret that that's what the word v'chiper is coming to say? Ema say, when it says v'chiper, atonement, is to tell you, that even though you didn't do all four of the bloods of the karmachatas, which are supposed to be on the top four corners, And that's what it's saying when it says v'chipur, which yeah, is diminishing, but it's not saying diminishing totally, that you don't need all four. No, even if you did only three in the top and one on the bottom, and when it says v'chipur, and it says the second time that atonement is af pishlei nosan l'shtayim l'mata v'shtayim l'mala, that even if you only give two on the bottom and two on the top, and when it says v'chipur the third time, is af pishlei nosan l'mala l'mata, that even if you didn't put any of the bloods on the top, only on the bottom, like Daga and Taisis brings down, because the questioner assumes that since it already says v'chipur a third time, so it's coming to say that you could have three of the bloods on the bottom and even only one on the top. So since the majority on the bottom is going to be valid, so too the idea is going to be that even all of it's going to be valid if it's on the bottom. So, but maybe that's all the drasha is coming to say, that you don't need to have all of it on the top. But maybe each time it's diminishing is not totally uprooting the amount of the zrikas. You're trying to say for Basil that, yeah, even if you only do one zrika, it's going to be enough, it's going to be an atonement. How do you know that? Maybe the word v'kipa that's diminishing is not diminishing that you don't have to have it at all. Maybe it's saying you don't have to have it on the top, like chattis, which is unique, but you have to have it on the bottom. So Avadam Rav Adda by Yitzchak, he says, Im Kain, if that would be the case, that you would be expounding the word keeper to say that even though you gave all of the bloods, you don't have to do it on the top, but it would be valid even though you're doing all of them on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, well then, Bitalta Tyrus Arba Kronis, then you're nullifying the whole halacha that the Torah tells us regarding the Karma Chattis, that it has to be placed on the corners. Then why did the Torah even write that? The whole halacha of the Quran, this is telling you, has to be put on the top, but then you're darshaning the words v'kipa, and saying, even if you put all of it on the bottom, it's going to be valid. Then why does the Torah say that you have to put on the Quran? If you're never going to put on the Quran, is it going to be putting on the bottom? So that has the Gemara back. What do you mean? V'irachmona amar, but if the Torah says that you, if after the fact you can nullify it, and we, the reason why we know that it's from the word v'kipa, so then betalt, so then live atlan, so let it be nullified. And when the Torah says to have the corners, it was written l'mitzvah. Initially, you should have them all on the top. But yeah, when every time there's another word, v'kipur, diminished, it says, you know what? Even if you don't do any of the top, but even on the bottom, it's going to be valid. But again, who said that you could even uproot it? Maybe it's just saying you don't have to have them on the top. And you're saying, then why did the Torah write the top? That was l'mitzvah, that was initially. That Amaravi says no, because ezehu davish atzarech shalish. What is a certain halacha that needs to have three times the word v'chipur written? We would say that that's the corners. In other words, like we said, that each one of them, that it says the word v'chipur, is diminishing one corner. So you take away one corner, second corner, third corner. You're left with one corner, one keren, that's going to be integral for the kapara. Because if it would be like you're saying, that it would be telling us, that no, you can't take away any zrikas. You have to have all four. It's just saying that you could have them on the bottom. Then says Rava, then they should have said four times the word v'chipur to say that the four matanis are going to be kosher, not only on the top, but even on the bottom. Why say three times? Because each one's taking away one corner, and you're left with one corner, but you have to have one corner, but you don't have to have the other three. It's not saying about being valid on the bottom instead of the top. But that has to get more. Why? Amos say, v'chipur, say that the three times that it says v'chipur is saying, each one is saying, not that you don't have to have it at all, but you could have it even on the bottom. And that answers Rava's question. That's why it doesn't say four times the word v'chipur, because you're right, one of them has to be lamala on the top. But the three times that it's saying is valid, is not valid if you're totally uprooted, but just that even if you do it on the bottom. That answers the Gemara, no. L'mitzinu damim, shechetzel lamala v'chetzel lamata. We don't find anywhere that the gift of a blood of a certain carbon, half will be on top, half will be on bottom. It can't be. And that's actually why the Gemara had initially explained it, to say all of it on the bottom would be valid. To say that half on the top, half on the bottom, meaning one on top, three on the bottom, that we can't say. So therefore, if you want to say it's uprooting it totally like we're saying for Basil, then fine. But if you're saying that it says to be on the bottom three, but one has to stay on the top, we don't find such a thing. That is the Gemara v'loi, we don't. But Vatanan, we learn the Mishnah Masechta Yemei that says, Hizum imenu, the Kohen Gadol would spray from the blood of the power of the Yom Kippurim, the bull that was brought on Yom Kippur, achas lamala v'sheva lamata, one on the top and seven on the bottom. Like the Pasuk says in Yukat Zayin, al paneh ha-kapayis keidma, he would throw it on in the front of the kapayis, which was the covering of the ark and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, towards the east. And v'lefneh ha-kapayis yaza sheva pam, in the front of the kapayis, he would spray seven times. Now the assumption of the Gemara now in this question, explaining the Mishnah Masechta Yuma, is that what does it mean, achas lamala v'sheva lamata? Meaning one of the throwing of the bloods of this blood of the Par Yom Kippurim was put on half of the thickness of the kapoiris and upward, meaning from on the Aron HaKodesh, half was on the top, and the other seven was on the bottom half. So you see, Achas Lamala, one was on the upper half of the Aron, and seven was on the bottom half. So you see that it was split up. And that says the Gemara, no. Kematzlev, as the Gemara is going to explain, where it says, my Kematzlev, what do you mean it was done like Kematzlev? So Machaveh Rav Yehuda illustrated Keman Gandana. I mean, like a person that's giving lashes in the court, they give 39 lashes with a whip, he's going each whip one beneath the other. In other words, not that the intention was when he was throwing the Kohen Gadol and the Kodesh Kodeshim that he should have one of them on the upper half of the Aron and the other seven on the bottom half. This that it says that the one was different than the other seven, that actually was not even talking about the place of where the springs were going to be, but rather was talking about regarding his finger in regarding the contortion of his hand. Like the Gemara explains over there, when it says that he would spray the one lamala, means to say that the top part of his hand was on the bottom, and he would go in an upward motion. And when he was spraying downward, it means to say that the top of his hand was on the top and spraying down. So he would do one up, and then seven down, but it would be one up, and then each one would be one beneath the other, but they were all on the floor, actually. It wasn't even on the Aron to say that one was on the top half and seven on the bottom half. No, we don't find anywhere that half is on the top and half is on the bottom. But the Gemara still asks. But the Mishnah teaches over the Masechtas Yoma that it says, when he was doing the Avodas there in the Heichel, it says, Hiza al tiare shel mezbeach, that he sprayed on the purity of the inner altar, like the Pasuk says over there, V'hiza lav min adam, that he would spray from the blood on the Mezbech Hazav, and he would do it sheva pam, seven times. Now, as the Gemara continues on the base and says, what does it mean that he would spray it on the tiaroi, the purity of the Mezbech? My, what is that? Lava palgin the Mezbech, isn't that going on the middle of the Mezbech? Meaning by, he would spray at the middle of the height of the Mezbech. Now, he would be spraying seven times. It's not possible to be exacting in the middle. So therefore, it's going to come out by default that some of them are going to be above the middle part of the Mizbeach Hazav and some are going to be on the bottom. Now, how do we know that that's what it means, Tiara Shel Mizbeach? It means the middle of the Mizbeach. Because I'm interested, like people say, Tohar Tiara Deyayma, the purity of the day has been purified, which that means when people refer to noontime, which is half of the day. And that's because that's the purest time of the day, which is, that's the word Tahara. So you see that it means in the middle. So he would throw it in the middle of Mizbeach. And you see some would go on the top, some on the bottom. You said that we'd never have some on top, some on the bottom. So that Amar Rav Barshila says, Loi, that's not what the Kohen Gadol would do by the Heichel, throw it on the height of the Mizbeach Hazav. Agiluye, he would actually do it on the top part of the altar. Because what he would first clean off the ashes that's on the Mizbeach Hazav, because Keteris was generally done on the Mizbeach Hazav throughout the year, and he would uncover the roof, the top part of the Mizbeach Hazav. Because he purified and beautified it, that's why it was called Tiaroi. Like we find, like the Pasuk says in Shemais, Uche'etzem HaShemayim L'tar, like the essence of the heaven in clarity, which when you purify something, you clean it off, that's called Tiaroi. So when he did on Tiaroi, it meant on the top. He would do seven on the top, nothing to do with half, meaning halfway in the middle point. So therefore, there was nothing about being on top and on bottom. It was only on top of the Mizbeach. So again, you don't find anywhere this idea of some on the top, some on the bottom. But the Gemara continues asking that. Is that so? But v'kashirayim, you have the leftover bloods which are poured to the foundation of the Mizbeach, which is on the bottom. And yet, by the Karm Chattas, the primary matanas are done on the top. So you see some of the blood on the top, some of the blood on the bottom. Says the Gemara, no, shirayim lema akvi. The remnants of the blood are not integral for the atonement. When we said that you can't have some of them on the top, some on the bottom, we're speaking about the integral bloods that provide the atonement. There we don't find some on top and some on the bottom. Therefore, we're not going to interpret the pasuk b'chibur, b'chibur, b'chibur to say that you don't need on the top but rather on the bottom, because then you're going to be stuck with one on top, three on bottom. Rather, again, like we're saying in the Braisa from Basil, it means they don't need the leftover threes. The kapar will be ma'akev only with one of them. The Gemara says, "B'vayikas shiram ha'panimim," but there is the leftovers of the bloods of those chatoyos that are brought inside the mezbeach hazav in the heichel. Deikad demand the amma ma'akvi. There is an opinion brought later on in Perkeizim Mukemin Daf and Beizim Alav that holds that those shirayim from those chatoyos ha'panimim are integral. Now, the primary matanis of the chatoyos ha'panimim are poured in the corners of the mezbeach hazav, which are on the top. And yet, the Shirayim are poured on the foundation of the Mbech HaChitim, which is on the bottom. So you see, and that Mandama holds is Ma'akiv, that you can have some on the top and some on the bottom. Says the Gemara, no, b'chad mokum kamrina. When we said we never find anywhere some top, some bottom, we meant in one place, in one mizbeach. There, since it's two different mizbeaches, that's not a contradiction. You could have on the top and the bottom, but in one mizbeach, we don't find matanas and ma'akiv to have on top and the bottom, and therefore we have to interpret v'chibah, like the Brisa said for Basil, that it means to say that you don't need them at all, not that you need it just not on the top, but rather on the bottom. Now, continuing on this machlekes of our Mishnah that we quoted regarding Bisham and Basil, regarding chatoyis and other karbanis, regarding the minimum required matanas for the kapara, so Tanya Lutna Brisa that expounds on this, Rabbi Yaakov Aimi says, Bishami Aimim, Shte Matanah Shebechadas, the minimum is at least two gifts of blood on the outer Mizbeach for the Chatas, V'acha Shebechadas V'acham, and one for all other Karbanas. That they are Matirais, they are what permit. In other words, as long as he didn't do two Matanahs for the Karbachatas, it did not permit the Emur, the sacrificial parts, to be sacrificed, and neither for the meat of that Karban to be eaten. And also, Umafaglis. If, let's say, both of those matanas of the Karban Chatas were done with a machshav of pigul, only then is it going to become pigul. But if one of the matanas were done silently and one with a machshav of pigul, it's not going to become pigul, because the halacha is you cannot create pigul with a chatzi matir, with half of the permitter. Since, according to Bisham, you need both to permit the Karban to be eaten, if you do only one zrika with a machshav and one not, then that's not going to be a valid, bona fide pigul, and it's not going to be pigul. If someone eats from the Karban, it's not going to be chayiv karz. Now, they say, no, achas shebechatas, one by the karbachatas, v'achas shebechalas vachem, and only one gift by all other karbanas, materis and mefagelis, you only need one to permit the meat and the emurim to be eaten, and it's also going to be enough to create pigul. Now, maskevel Ravishu, the way this price is qualifying the machlekes in our Mishnah, Ravishu asked, im kain, if that's the case, then lasagne, then this machlekes should have been taught in Masechtas Idyos, gabekuli beishami v'chum beisil, by the leniencies of beishami and the stringencies of beisil, where, because although generally beishami is machmer, beisil is machmer, it was organized in Mishnayis and Idyos, the cases that are the exception, the beishami is the makel, is the lenient, and beisil is the machmer. Here also, it's from the leniencies of Bishamai, because according to Bishamai, it's not going to become pigul by Karban Chatas unless he had a machshava pigul by both zrikas. Whereas according to Basil, it's going to be even by one, which is a stringency, it's going to be pigul even with one. So Amalei Rava said to him, he says, Ki Itchel, when this halacha was asked in the study hall initially, which was what the machlekes Bisham Basil was on, Lehetere Itchel, it was asked regarding the permissibility of the meat and the emurim to be consumed. Where the one who got up had asked, he says, what happens if, let's say, one gift of the Karban Chatas was given, and then the blood spilled out? Now, is the Emurim and Basur permitted or not? On that, Bishami got up and said, no, it's going to be Pasul, because you need to have both. And Basil got up and said, it's going to be valid. Where the Havalu Bishami, L'chum, in that context, Bishami is the one that's being stringent, because he says it's not valid, because you need both. Now, you're right, from there we would devolve and learn out that, yes, since you only need, according to Bishami, you're only going to be permitted with both, so you're right, it's not going to be pigul unless you have both. But since initially the question was asked in the context of heter, on that Bisham is the machmer, and therefore they didn't teach that Mishnah in Masechtas Idyos. Now, continuing on this halacha of our Mishnah, so Amar B'Yichin says, Shalish Matanis, which according to Beis Hillel, the first matana of dam is the ma'akiv, is what the kapar happens from. Now, although the Torah says to do four matanis, those are not ma'akiv, those are not going to be the integral ones of the kapara, and again, therefore they're not the matir, and therefore you're not going to have pigul with them. Now, Rabbi Yechon says the remaining, the last three gifts of the karma chatas, shabachatois, that's in the chatas, so they have the following halachas. Einon bois balayla, they cannot be thrown at nighttime. Now, which the chiddush in this is, although we're saying for Basil that they're not ma'akiv, and hence it's not really a full-fledged zrika. However, the thing is, as the Gemara tells later in the Avnan Vom and Aleph, blood of a carbon becomes invalidated by sundown, by Shkia. And therefore, you can't bring it on the Mizbeach initially after sundown. So therefore, at nighttime, you can't go ahead and bring these remaining Zrikas. Now, however, what's unique is Ubois La'achar Misa. They could be, however, thrown after the owner died. In other words, if let's say the first gift was thrown, and then the owner died, so he already had an atonement, like we said with Basil, by the first Matanas Dam. And therefore, it's not going to have the designation of a karma chatas regarding to say that chatas shamesu ba'alav, generally a karma chatas that the owner died, is not valid. Here, since the blood was already from the first matan of the throne, and he had an atonement already, so it's not going to be qualified like blood to be possible as chatas shamesu ba'alav, and therefore you could throw it even after the owner passed away. Now, however, whoever throws the blood of this carbon outside the perimeter of the azar, where you're allowed to go ahead and throw it, he throws it outside, in outside of the permitted area, he's going to be liable like the halacha is by Zarik Bachutz and Sheikhet Bachutz, that there's a prohibition, he's liable for the punishment. He's going to have that too, because ultimately it is a zrika of dam, of a carbon. Moreover, Omar HaPapa qualifies even further regarding the parameters of this unique categorization of these remaining three zrikas of the karmachatzis. He says, yesh mehen. There are from these things, from the halachas that apply to the blood of a carbon, that the remaining three matanas are ketchilasai, are like the first zrika of the dam. Yesh men kesefi. However, there are certain halachas regarding it that is like the end of the blood, which is like the halachas of the shiurayim of the dam, of the remnants of the blood. As Rav Papa explains, chutz, regarding the halacha of someone who throws the blood outside of the perimeter that he's allowed to, in regard to this, is going to be liable. Because ultimately, the halacha of chutz is always the equivalent of whatever is permitted inside and is done inside, then you're liable for the outside. Now here, ultimately, these the last three zrikas are halachically qualified to be done as full zrikas. They might not be ba'akav with the kapar, but they are, and therefore there's going to be a liability for throwing them outside. So too, v'layla. As we said before, it's forbidden to throw them at nighttime, because that's a time when zrika is invalidated, and ultimately it is a zrika of dam. So to zaris, if a non-kohen goes and does these three zrikas, he's going to be chayv misa if he does it inside, because it is navayid in the Beis HaMikdash. Ukli Sharis, they require a service vessel to be done for their zrikas. Keren requires the matanas dam to be done on the corner of the mizbeach. The etzba requires it that the blood takes from the Ukli Sharis and the finger is what puts it on the mizbeach. So to kibis, if let's say from the blood of the karmachatas it spills on the kohen's garments after he had already done one of the matanas, it's still going to require the garment should be washed. Like the Pasuk says, Vasha Yizim, Medama, Begrema, whoever sprays from the blood. And then if it sprays on them, he has to wash the garment. Here it's going to be as if it sprayed before the first one was thrown. Now, because in contrast, if let's say all the matanas of dam were already thrown, and then the blood from the shirayim spills on this garment, then the garment doesn't have to be washed. As the Gemara is going to say later on, it says Ashayiza, that he will throw, that excludes if it already was thrown, then the blood that spills on this garment doesn't have to have that special washing. Vishirayim. And also regarding karmachatas, that its blood was received in four separate cups, and then the four gifts were done from each cup individually, all the cups, the blood's remaining in them, become shirayim to be poured on the site and the foundation, not to just be spilled out to the amma, to the canal. Which that's the chiddush, that even the remaining three cups, their remnants have the same halacha like the first one to be considered shirayim. So therefore it says, Rav Papa, all these items that we just mentioned are kitchilasan, meaning like the first gift. It has the same halacha for that regarding the zrika. Now, however, regarding misa, regarding this, that they could be brought after the owner's death, like we said, and regarding loy sharya, that it does not permit the blood, regarding this, the three zrikas, as we said, because they already permitted the meat already from the first one, these remaining three do not permit it. And hence, like we said, le mefagla. If let's say the first one was done silently and the remaining three were done with makshava pigal, it's not going to become pigal, it's going to become kosher, like we learned in the Mishnah, because it already was, you cannot be mefagal in these three because it's only something that does the kapara, and the first one is what does the kapara. And it does not have the halacha invalidating the carbon if the blood is brought inside. Where if let's say the first matana was done outside, and then he brings the remaining blood inside the heichel, the carbon does not become possible because of what's usually called the chatas shenichnas dam lefnim. Usually halacha is, if a karma chatas that's supposed to be done on the outside, if its blood is brought on the inside, the whole carbon is invalidated. That does not apply to remaining three zrikas, because the pasuk in Mirkavav says, l'chaper b'kaidish, where he's doing inappropriately to atone in the kaidish, in the heichel, that's only a type of zrika, a type of blood that's fit to do the atonement. And as we said, that atonement is actually only with the first zrika, not with the remaining three. So regarding these halachas, it's kisayfin, it's like the end of the blood, which is like the shirayim, like the remnants, which does not have the same halacha of the zrika. So these remaining three are in some elements like a full bona fide zrika, and in some, they're like not like the zrika, like the remnants of the blood. Now, Amar Rav Papa, he qualifies one of the halachas, he said, menah minila, from where do I know that these remaining three zrikas, if they spill on the kohen's garments, it has to be washed like the halacha of the blood that's fit for hazalis, like the first one, and not like the shirayim, where when that spills on the garment, that doesn't have to be washed. So he says it's not, because we learn the Mishnah later on, the Tzadik Gimel Menalf, that says, Nitas min hatzavra al-begev. Let's say the blood of the carbon spills directly from the animal's neck onto the kohen's garments. So says the Mishnah, in the Toin Kibbutz. So that garment does not have to be washed, like the Gemara says later on over the end of Tzadik Gimel and Aleph, because it says Asher Yiza, that he will spray, which is the type of blood that's fit to be sprayed, to do a Hazah with. That excludes this blood that's spilling straight from the animal's neck, which was never received in the Kli. To be valid as blood that can be done with Zrika, it has to have Shechita Kabbalah Hiloch and Zrika, and it didn't have Kabbalah, but it was never received in the vessel. Let's say it spills Min HaKeren. Let's say after it touched the corner of the Mizbeach, then it spritched back onto the garment of the Kohen. Or Umin HaYisayid, or from the leftovers blood that was thrown onto the foundation and sprayed back and it hit the Kohen's garments. There also says the Mishnah, Ein Toyin Kibbutz, that doesn't have to be washed. Like we said, Asher Yize, that he will spray, here it excludes that which already was sprayed. It already was on the Mizbeach and then sprays back. That's not Asher Yize, that's Asher Huza. That's not going to require washing the garments. Now one thing says Rav Papa Adiyuk, so it's saying from the keren, from the aside, then it doesn't have to be washed. Hamina roi le keren, but from blood that's fit for the corner, which sounds like any type of blood that's fit for the corner, meaning even the remaining three zrikas, which are also fit because they are thrown on the keren, that sounds like since it didn't hit the keren yet, they're then toin kibbutz, would have to be washed. So you see that the remaining three are also like the halacha of the first zrika, that if it spills on this garment before he throws on the mizbeach, it will require him to wash the garment in that halacha. So the Gemara rejects that, right, and says, wait a second. According to your reasoning that you're making the diuk, oh, only from the keren he doesn't have to, but from the royal keren he would have to, then say the same diuk from the next halacha of the Mishnah. You should say, Min HaYisayid ain't the Toin Kibbutz. Only what the blood of the remnant that went onto the foundation and then sprays back, then he doesn't have to wash his garments. But if what's fit for the foundation, meaning the shiraim of the dam, the leftovers of the blood, which is fit to be spilled on the foundation, that you're making the dig to, that toin kibbutz, that would have to be washed? But how can you say that? Asher Yizik Siv, it says that will be sprayed. Prat lezeh shekvar huza, that excludes this category of shiraim, which already was sprayed. So therefore concludes the Gemara, and on its question to exclude and preclude the proof of Rav Papa, to say no. So obviously, this Mishnah will not support your opinion. Because obviously, it's difficult because the Diyuk then is from Roy Lee's side, and that we said Shiraim does not create the Halacha of Kibbutz. So rather, the reason why it's not supporting you and will explain the Mishnah is because Hamani, who's the Tana of that Mishnah, it's Reb Nechemya. That he says that actually even by Shiraim, you have to wash the garment. So there's no proof from Min HaRoi, from the other three, because yeah, the other three is not worse than Shiraim. But according to Rabbanan, that don't say that you wash by Shiraim, maybe they would hold by the other three, you also wouldn't wash, and there is no proof. It's not like we learn in the Mishnah on Kof Yudam and Beis. Reb Nechemya, he says, Shiyari Hadam, the leftovers of the blood, even of the Chatois HaChetzainis, because in Chatois HaPanimis, some say they're Ma'akim, but even the leftovers of the blood of Aruch Chatos, Shekriv Machutz Chayiv, if they were brought and they were sprayed outside of the perimeter where it's allowed to be done, there's going to be a liability. So you see that Reb Nechemya considers the Shiraim of the blood like full-fledged halacha of general halachas of blood pertaining to Zrikas. And therefore you would say, because generally the halacha of Helen Machutz is only if it's the integral Zrikas, well, Shiraim, you see, he considers like a regular Dama Zrika, so yeah, therefore that's what he would require to washing the garment also from the Shiraim. But again, therefore that's why he would say that, yeah, the Min HaRoi LeKeren, Min HaRoi LeYisayid, which yeah, would of course include the last three Zrikas, because it even includes the Shiraim according to Reb Nechemya. But there wouldn't be proof to the Rabban who disagree with Reb Nechemya, and they say, no, Shiraim does not require the washing. Maybe that would include the three Zrikas of remaining of the Chattis. That also would be like Shiraim, it would not have to wash the garment. And the halacha would only be, because your Diyuk, you make him that Mishnah, is like Reb Nechemya. But the Kontra Rabbanan actually would only be the first Zrika that would require Kibbutz, and not the remaining three. And even there's no proof to Rav Papa, which that's what the Gemara continues on the bottom of this Amma to the next Daf, regarding how do we know that Reb Nechemya says this to say that he's the man the Amma to reject the proof of Rav Papa, where we're only saying he says this halacha regarding Shiyori Hadam, that regarding the halacha of Malabachutz. But how do we know it applies also regarding this halacha? But that's what the Gemara is assuming right now, that yeah, you see, consider Shiyori Hadam as blood, to even Michayev Halabachutz, which generally is only for halacha of bona fide Zrika, and if you would say the same thing regarding Toin Kibbutz, that also Shiraim would require Kibbutz, and again, that includes the last three Zrikas, but no riot to the Rabban who disagree that they would require that these three Zrikas are like the first Zrika in being Matan Kibbutz.